Welcome to worship this morning. My name's Mike. I'm leading through until Martin comes to speak later. In a moment or two, we'll light two Advent candles, just by way of reminder. But just to start, we're going to pray. Many of you will have noticed from notice sheet and Facebook that Philip Haynes, who was here for years and years, an elder, a leader, head teacher at Edward Peak, went to be with the Lord on Friday, and family are looking at what arrangements there will be, so we'll share things as we know. So let's just start with prayer. Father God, thank you for time together, time to worship, time to learn from you, time to share together your love and your care. Just pray for Philip's family that they'll know your presence with them right now, and for friends and colleagues, people in Biggleswade, just touch them with your presence and your peace. And as we come this morning, help us to recognize again the Jesus who is among us. Amen. So we're going to start with the Advent candle.
Advent reminds us that we are people who share a story, the story of Jesus, who enacts peace by judging in favour of the poor and deciding with equity for the meek of the earth. We long for the day when the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and the little child shall lead them. Isaiah 11:6.
Together, today we choose to live the story of peace, believing that true peace comes when we seek the flourishing of all God's creation.
We light this candle of peace as a sign of our commitment to bring light to the places the world seeks to hide.
Until that day when all creation lives together in harmony and abundance.
Put that one in on purpose. Yay. Hey. Thank you. We're going to come with some songs of worship, tying in with the thought of creation there. I know this song really well, but I might be the only one here, so let's see how we go. But we're going to sing about creation sings the Father's song. Do stand and sing together.
Thank you.
just sit down. Who's got the Christmas tree up and in the house? Ooh, 25%. Who's got it in the house and have decorated it? That's more than had it in the house in the first place. Who's got a star on the top? Who's got a child on the top? No. Has anybody got an advent calendar in the shape of a tree? Where's Heather gone? Oh, she's out. Are you out the back? Oh, your hand's up now. Oh, excellent. So I just needed to sort of ask questions about advent calendars because of somebody in my wider family. Has anybody else got a beauty and makeup advent calendar? It's not Heather, right? She clearly doesn't need it. But she is a teenager, this particular one. So who's got an advent calendar with chocolate? Advent calendar with sort of little cards with words on, with Christmas verses and things like that. Okay, we'll go home now, shall we? So, sweets that are not chocolates. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you think we might be interested in? Who? Fidgets. That's different from widgets, isn't it? Yeah, fidgets. Sweets. Who's that? Oh, it's Venice.
Tea lights, candles.
It's a big advent calendar. Tea lights. Can't see. Libby. I was going to just get your father to explain, but a pinball machine, okay. Is that Christopher? Christopher? Lego. Oh, and do you connect it up a bit each day? And what will it be on day 25? Any ideas? No, okay. You've got another who's got more than one advent calendar? Yeah? Jigsaw. Oh, yeah, that's quite a common one. I just want to show you another advent calendar, Rachel, in case people have forgotten. Okay, call it the reverse, don't we? The reverse advent calendar, we're up to, what day? 7th. Lots of suggestions for things that you can collect together and all bring all in one go or whatever. Yeah, so up to day 7. If you can't read them at the back, there's lots of words up there. Can bring them in together, bring them in bits and pieces, etc. Just want to share some of these things that were written on these pieces of paper last week by what we call X Club, that's the younger youth. Do I need those? We were having a conversation around Christmas and different things about names for wise men and so on. So we ended with, can you write down some of the sort of questions you might have around Christmas? And I think this is really interesting. Why do we give gifts? You don't need to answer them all, okay? Why do we give gifts? Where did the Santa come from? Who is Santa? Hang on. How far can a donkey even walk for? Why did Herod kill the babies? And how did Jesus survive? Martin's making notes for changing his sermons for December at this point. Hang on a minute. Oh, this is a long one. Who made it because Jesus was a baby and Mary didn't write in the Bible, so who wrote it? What were the presents the wise men gave and how important were they? It's an interesting one. Was Elizabeth jealous of Mary? How come Mary and Joseph and Jesus were still at the stable 2 years after he'd been born? Exactly. So some honest questions here. And the last one, which obviously I've saved till last, who gave him the name Jesus? A couple of things to remind you of. We've got communion tonight at 6:30. Not many of these left, but we have still got some left, and they are out the back if you want to share them with friends, neighbours, etc. And nobody else has given me another notice, so I'm moving on quick. Oh, there you go. Oh, you've got one already.
Morning, everyone.
Sorry, Mike. Two things. First of all, I hope I'm not stealing anybody's thunder at all, but thought you'd like to know that Simon and Helen Chiverton have had a little boy. Aww. And he will be starring in the Chris Dingle service in 2 weeks, like, no, he won't. No name as yet, but they are home and doing okay. So you continue to pray for him, that'd be great. And just an addendum to what Mike was saying about the communion service tonight, just in case you haven't read your emails since Friday, if you're planning on coming, it's another one of those bring and share communion services. It doesn't mean that you bring your own wine and your own bread, it means you bring any testimony or any scripture that has been speaking to you recently. It's a time to encourage one another. It worked so well the last time we did it. I'm looking forward to it. So if there's anything that's been going on that God has blessed you with or challenged you with, that you'd be prepared to share tonight at the communion service, that would be really, really wonderful. Otherwise, it will be a very, very short service, which might also be wonderful in itself. So there we go. Thank you, Mike.
You've got a microphone.
For those who've pledged to donate things for the hampers for the Ladies' Refuge, if they can be at church by next Sunday, if they're not already here, so that we can pack the hampers a week tomorrow so that they get them in good time for Christmas, because obviously any stress that we can relieve by letting those ladies know that they've got some Christmas goodies so they're not stressing about that is good. So, yeah, thank you.
Thanks. We're going to sing two more songs. At the end of those songs, children and youth are going to go out, but don't go out until we've prayed after the next two songs.
Forever, Potter of Salvation.
of Kings this morning, and we can realize that, Lord Jesus, you came as a baby. Help us all as we learn this morning to just know your Holy Spirit speaking to us, in us, and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, children and youth, would you like to make your way out? Going to read from Isaiah chapter 9, and at the end of it we'll just leave a little bit of space, a little bit of quiet, with time for you to reflect, you to speak to God. On this occasion, not to pray out loud, but to just one-on-one with God, to just reflect on what he's done and who he is. There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For in the day of Midian's defeat, you've shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Lord, we stand before you this morning wanting to bring praise, wanting to bring worship, thanksgiving, gratitude, ourselves to you. And just now in one simple prayer we pray for those who are oppressed, those who are poor and struggling, those who need healing. We pray particularly for Jill as she goes to hospital. And Father, touch your people with your presence and through your Holy Spirit, heal this land. He is the light of the world. Do stand.
Oh, Amen. Please be seated. Those of you who know about such things will notice there are two glasses of orange up there this morning. That does not mean a double-length sermon, just in case you're worried. Start with a question. I wonder if anyone here today has ever wondered about the word wonder. Have you ever wondered about the word wonder? I ask because it's one of those words that has several meanings. So context is really important. For example, one meaning is to have interest in knowing or learning something. I wonder how the internal combustion engine works. To think about something with curiosity. I wonder how long it takes to train to do that job that well. Or, I wonder why grass is green. Or, I wonder what's happening over there. Or, I wonder why Chelsea can't win a football match in December. Then there's other meanings as well, to like asking a question like I did at the beginning, or to express surprise. For example, sometimes you really do make me wonder what's going on with you. But that's not all. We have the seven wonders of the world, which are definitely not seven random people being curious and asking questions. Rather, they are amazing man-made things like the pyramids of Giza or the hanging gardens of Babylon. Wonders of creation like the Himalayas, the Great Barrier Reef, the Grand Canyon, or even the Lake District. Things that are noted for their beauty and for how long they've lasted. Or, and I think this is possibly the best one, a glorious Eastbourne sunrise. Doesn't that inspire wonder? Yeah, I wonder why somebody was up that early to take that photo. And then there's the feeling of wonder that these things inspire as they take our breath away. So, we can be lost in wonder as we wonder about a wonder. Hopefully you get the point before we go any further down this particular rabbit hole. But there is something else. Things can be wonderful. And we can be full of wonder because something is wonderful. Ain't English a grand language? In fact, you could even say that it's wonderful. Yeah. Now, I'm saying all this because our theme for this whole Advent is about small wonder or about wonderful things. But they're things that over the years we've lost something as we look at them. We've lost the sense of awe and wonder connected with them. Reminds me of a story about John Wayne, as these things do. He was acting the part of the centurion in the story of the crucifixion. And he had to speak those words, surely he was the Son of God. And the director didn't like the way he did it, first of all. So he said, John, say it with awe. So John Wayne went, awe, surely he was the Son of God. I'm not saying we've gone as far as that saying which says familiarity breeds contempt, but we've certainly lost something of the wonder of the Christmas story over the years. That's why it's so important to remember the original context that we've read from Isaiah chapter 9 today. The chapter starts with one of those words that a chapter should never really start with. Nevertheless. Okay, I do believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. I'm not so convinced about the chapter separations. But this chapter starts with nevertheless. And if you look back over the earlier 8 chapters of Isaiah, there are warnings of judgment. There are warnings of disaster. There's a whole kind of theme of darkness with a few glimpses of light here and there. for the people of Israel because they have ignored God, they've ignored his instructions, and they've ignored his love. So this whole first eight chapters have been about the bad news, if you like. Actually, the best way to appreciate good news is to realise how different it is and how better it is than bad news. And so Isaiah has built up this big picture of bad news, and then he says, nevertheless, something good is coming. In spite of all the darkness we see around us, in spite of all the difficulty, all the suffering, all the pain, all the sickness and the shame and stuff like that, something good is coming. And the first wonder is that in spite of all that the people of Israel have been doing, in chapter 9, God sends this message of hope. He says, nevertheless, light is coming into the darkness. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. I don't know if you've ever walked around a place in complete and utter darkness. It's very discombobulating. It's a good word, that, isn't it? Yeah. It wasn't the word I meant, but that's the one that came out. Disorienting, that's the word. You don't know whether you're north, south, east, or west. You're worried that you're going to bump into something or somebody. It plays with your senses, doesn't it? And it plays with your emotions. But put some light into that darkness. And suddenly everything changes. Even the smallest glimmer of light gives us hope, helps us to see a way forward. And here in Isaiah 9, God talks about this light coming into the darkness of his people, not just a small light, but a great light. The promise of good news of the birth of a child who will reign, who will rescue his people, who will restore his people, who will drive away the darkness, and who will reign forever. Now, actually, this promise has layers to it. And this promise was fulfilled in more than one way. As often with Old Testament prophecy, there's a kind of a then application and a future application. And the then application came through the birth of King Hezekiah, who was one of Israel's few godly kings who restored the kingdom and drew people back to faith in God. He was known for wisdom, for righteousness and justice. But also in the long term, the promise is fulfilled by a king who is not only filled with good human qualities, but is also endowed with qualities that only God possesses. So there's a twofold fulfillment of this prophecy, the first with King Hezekiah, and the second, the one who God will send, one who is greater than Hezekiah, who shall reign forever and ever. Now, it's a real shame that Ali's gone out, because I was going to get her to sing that bit from Handel's Messiah on the spot with no preparation whatsoever. So there we go. So what Isaiah is saying is, if you live in despair and darkness, light is coming. And the news of coming light into darkness is wonderful news. It brings hope. It brings anticipation. It brings joy in knowing that no matter how bad things are now, they will get better. This too shall pass. God will bring everything back to how it should be. This morning out in the prayer time, we read some verses from Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, and it talks about Jesus, the image of the invisible God, restoring all things in heaven and on earth through his blood shed on the cross. This is the light that God is promising to send into the world to those people who are struggling in darkness. And he has names that describe his character and his rule, names that only God could claim to hold on to, and here they are. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's that wonderful word again. Wonderful Counselor. I'm not going to ask, but I know that on Law of Averages, a few of us will have been to see counsellors over the year. I'm not sure I'd describe any one of them as wonderful. Some of them were downright unhelpful. Some of them might be helpful, but I'm not sure I'd describe any of them as wonderful counsellors. But this baby who is promised, this light who's coming into the world, his name will be Wonderful Counsellor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He needs nobody else to counsel him, nobody else to tell him what to do, no one else who outlives him, and no one who can prevent his plan of peace between God and people being fulfilled. You see, this isn't just a wonderful piece of news. This isn't just a piece of news that we can wonder about. This is the wonderful news that each and every single person on this planet needs to hear and needs to understand. Yet sometimes this wonderful news is easily missed. Even at the time of year set apart to celebrate and remember it. It's missed in the headlines of the ringing of tills, in the playing of mainly cheesy Christmas songs. Apart from Stop the Cavalry, that's the best Christmas song that's ever written. It's missed in the busyness of Christmas markets and parties, in tinsel and trees and food and drink. It's missed in the obsession with a fat bloke in a red suit who would be mortified to know that he has taken the place of the real reason for the season. I don't know who asked the question about Santa, but it came from St. Nicholas, a bishop in what we would now call Turkey, who followed the example of Jesus and gave gifts to people to help them in their lives. And out of his generous gift-giving came the legend of Father Christmas, or Santa Nicholas, or Santa Claus. There you go, Mike, you can go back and tell them that if you didn't know that already. You wrote them all anyway, okay. Right. We're going to have a long conversation at lunch, aren't we? And in the midst of all this noise, in the midst of all these headlines, in the midst of all this clamour, there is a small, wonderful baby who is, as the phrase goes, the reason for the season. We would not have Christmas songs if it were not for the birth of Jesus the Christ. We would not have Christmas markets and parties. We would not have Christmas decorations. We wouldn't give gifts to each other. And why do we give gifts to each other? It's not our birthday. We give gifts to each other to remind that God once gave us the greatest gift of all, the most wonderful gift of all, in Jesus. Yet even gift-giving has become divorced from the reality, and it's become competitive. We looked a couple of weeks ago at a couple of films, didn't we? Jingle All the Way and whatever the other one was, I can't remember now, but both of them were about dads competing with other people to get a particular present for their child, without which Christmas would be ruined! There's a quote from the LICC material that I want to share with you, and it's this. We must choose to make time to give our attention to Jesus, to find Jesus. And not just at Christmas. It goes on, our everyday lives can be the same. The headlines in our lives in any given week can be issues, deadlines, diary commitments, tasks, worries, concerns. And yet Jesus is there, not shouting for attention, but deserving of it. And when we do focus on Jesus, there is beauty to be found. Everybody loves a baby, don't they? Look how you reacted when I told you about Simon and Helen's. Oh! He hadn't even seen a picture, and he does look quite cute, surprisingly. Of course not surprisingly. No, stop digging. When we do focus on Jesus, there is beauty to be found. There is perspective for everything else. There is wonder. And that wonder carries us into the rest of Christmas and into our everyday situations. Because the one who is here, our wonderful counsellor, promises to be there with us in our everyday places throughout the week. So this Advent, can we choose to make time to find Jesus in the midst of all the noise? It's interesting, isn't it? I'm speaking to a group mainly of professing Christians. Sometimes we forget to look for Jesus in the noise and the bustle and everything else that's going on. And if those of us who say we follow Jesus don't look for him, how can we expect others to? How can we expect to lead others to the manger, to see God's wonderful gift, to see the wonderful news that God so loved the world he gave his only son, that no one should perish but have eternal life? Let's cut through all the distracting headlines. See the baby in the manger. Hear the herald angels singing. Worship with the shepherds as they gaze in wonder at the greatest wonder they and we have ever seen. Because this is not just a baby. We will not react to Simon and Helen's baby in the same way as we are called to react to Jesus, because Jesus is God become man, God Almighty humbling himself, making himself completely vulnerable so that we can know that he knows what it's like to be one of us. Born into poverty, forced into exile by a murderous tyrant, someone who suffered and who was then nailed to a cross because people didn't like what he was saying. You see, this baby, Jesus, grows up to be the man who challenged the status quo and who demonstrated the love and the power of God in practical ways and in supernatural ways. Let's not just limit our stopping and looking and wondering to Advent. Let's not just limit it to Christmas. Let's take this commitment to look for Jesus in our day-to-day lives too, because he makes all the difference in the world. There's a song that always, to me, always used to sort of stir that sense of wonder. You'll be surprised at what the song is. It's not Stop the Cavalry. It's When a Child is Born. Johnny Mathis. If you haven't listened to it for a while, do listen to it. But there is one bit in it that is completely wrong, of course. Because he says it's all a dream, an illusion now. Johnny Mathis is Jewish. So he doesn't believe that Jesus is the Saviour. But the words, a ray of hope, just words that talk about all these things in Isaiah 9 here. He's taken the prophecy and he's applied it, but he's missed the Jesus bit out. And we can have the greatest Christmas. We can have the most fun. We can eat the most wonderful food. We can socialise with the most wonderful people. We can do all the wonderful things that go on, but still miss Jesus. It's a bit like being invited to a birthday party and the person whose party it is and whose birthday it is isn't there. Which is a bit weird. Closest I can come to that is I had to do a funeral visit once and I arranged a time with the husband of the person who died, and when I got there, he wasn't there. Lots of other people were, but he wasn't. And I felt rather discombobulated. Get your bingo cards out, folks. And the parties, and they're all good in themselves, but if they take us away from the reason we're having them, if they take us away from recognising Jesus. And you know, I remember in the past people saying, what's the church got to do with Christmas? What have they got to get involved? My last church, we decided, didn't have something quite as big as we have here in Biggleswade. We had something called late night shopping, because it was just basically Crowthorne's one big high street with a few houses either side. That's slightly underestimating it, but we had this thing, it's always on the first Friday in December called late night shopping, and the whole village turns out to do stuff. And we decided as churches together that we would provide a Christmas gift for the village on that particular night. And so we decided to pay for a hog roast, which was extremely well received, apart from a couple of the shops, well, cafes really, who were a bit upset that we might be taking some of their profit away. And so we had a slight clash of cultures about what Christmas was actually about. And we did kind of point out that, well, we kind of had it first. But in the spirit of graciousness and love, we decided we'd ask people to make a donation, which we'd then give to charity, even though we wanted to give it away as a free gift. Some of those shopkeepers missed the point of what Christmas is actually about. That's the challenge, to not miss the point. Because in these incredibly dark times we find ourselves in now, we need the light that Jesus brings. Whether we're Christians being persecuted in Nigeria, whether we're Palestinians being persecuted in the Middle East, ironically around Bethlehem. Great news this week, they've opened Bethlehem up again to have Christmas celebrations. That's really good. Or whether you're living in America and the Iceman comes and knocks on the door. Or in Russia and the secret police come looking for you. Or China. Or wherever it may be. In these incredibly dark times, we need the light that he brings. To know that this wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is also Emmanuel, God with us. God for us, God who promises never to leave us or forsake us. And he is the one whose kingdom will prevail and will never end. Vladimir Putin's kingdom will not prevail. Zhao Xing, whatever his name is in China, His kingdom will not prevail. Neither will North Korea's. Neither will Donald Trump's. Neither will King Charles's. The only kingdom that will prevail is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he invites all of us to be part of that by coming as a small wonder, as the baby in the manger, showing that he identifies with us, inviting us to identify with him in his life and his death and his resurrection. So no matter what's going on in life, when we stop and we look for Jesus, we can face life with wonder. Because actually life is wonderful. It's a wonderful gift. You can spend your life thinking, it's why do we have to die at the end? But why not spend your life thinking, what a great gift this life is. What a joy it is to be alive, to meet other people, to see the creation around us, to be invited to become a child of God. The reality is that this baby who was born at Bethlehem, this small wonder, this wonderful child, grew to be the man who dealt with our sin, with the problem of guilt and of death and of hell and all that stuff, and who promises to go before us and with us into every single situation we face. And that is wonderful. It is wonderful to know that we're never alone with Jesus. And the wonder here is that this Jesus, the man who defeated death, in this Jesus we have everything we could ever need to live in hope, peace, and security, because we can know we are loved with an everlasting love. I'll throw out a question. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that you are loved with an everlasting love? Have you received that love, that peace, that companionship of the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? Because that's what you get when you join up with Jesus. Guaranteed. Maybe today you're finding life quite dark and difficult. You need that light. You need the light of God's love in Jesus in your life. Why not ask him to come and be present in your life so that you can know that whatever you face, you're not on your own? That no matter how dark it gets, the light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out. You see, the wonderful thing here is that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Hallelujah and amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus. We thank you that he came, and we thank you that he came in a way that we could know you understand us and you know us and you care for us. And Lord, into this dark world, we just cry out, we need more of your light. We need, as your people, we need your light, but also we need your light so that we can shine that light on others who are still walking in those dark rooms, who are discombobulated, who are disoriented, who are distressed, who are deceived. So Lord, would you fill us, your people, afresh with your light and your love? Help us to pause and gaze in wonder at the baby in the manger, recognizing as we do the shadow of the cross over him, but also seeing the glory of the empty tomb beyond, and knowing that this is the light that was promised. It's not a dream, it's not an illusion now, it's reality, it's historical fact. Jesus has come, and he invites all of us to step into his light, to gaze in wonder at our beautiful Saviour, at our wonderful Counsellor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. We thank you for your wonderful gift. Amen. So just before we sing our final song, song of response to what we've been thinking about, if anything's touched you this morning, anything struck you, you want to ask a question about, go and see Mike, obviously, because he's the question master. Come and ask. Please do come and ask. If you'd like to be prayed with, just so that you can get that little bit closer to Jesus, so that you can see that wonder in a new way, please do come down the front. The prayer team will be hiding behind the Christmas tree, I think. It's very cosy down here, by the way. Or just if there's anything on your heart, your mind you want to bring to God, then please do. Or maybe just turn to the person next to you, if you know they're a Christian, and ask them to pray for you and pray with you. But if God has spoken, don't go without responding to what he said. And I believe God has spoken this morning. We need more of his light and his love. We need more of him. Not so we can keep it to ourselves, but so we can share it with others. Thanks, Steve.
To stop
and to look for Jesus. And as we look for him, may we find him. May we see that he is so much more than a cute baby in a manger. That in him all the fullness of God dwells. And that in him all that we need is provided. Hope and peace, forgiveness, grace, love and strength. And may we take that in for ourselves into our own lives and strengthen our faith or take our first step in faith. And then as we continue to gaze on him, we will see more and more his greatness and his majesty, his love and his power and his goodness, and be filled with his joy and his peace, which we can then share with others. Wherever you go this week, may you see Jesus with you. May you know him with you. And may you share him as he wishes to be shared himself. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all and those you love this day, this Advent, this Christmas, and every day until Jesus returns. And all the people said, Amen.
Amen.